Let me introduce Brother Bell to you. Brother Craig Bell currently serves as department chair and faculty member in the business management department here at BYU-Idaho. Brother Bell graduated with an associate's degree in health science from Ricks College, a bachelor's degree in psychology from BYU, a master's degree in business administration from Portland State University, and he is currently working on a PhD in educational leadership and administration from the University of Nebraska. Before coming to BYU, Idaho, Brother Bell was the manager of market operations at Wood Grain Millwork Incorporated. He also worked for the church educational system as a seminary teacher in Oregon and Utah and Idaho, and was the seminary principal at Ontario High School. Brother Bell has served the church in many capacities, including as an elders quorum president, a scoutmaster, state clerk, and as a counselor in the bishopric. He currently serves as the bishop of the Hibbard Third Ward. Brother Bell and his wife, Susan, have 6 children.
I'm not sure where to start. Thank you so much. What a beautiful number. Brought back a wonderful memory about 10 years ago when Elder Bednar was inaugurated as the president of Ricks College at the time. The combined choir and the orchestra sang that song, and I can still remember where I sat. I was right on the floor back there. I can honestly say I've heard angels sing. It's a beautiful number. Thank you so much. I'm grateful for this opportunity. The Clarks have been so gracious, and the people that have helped with this have been so professional and so kind. I would ask for your faith and prayers. I love BYU-Idaho. I love the people that work here, and I love you students. When our 2 oldest boys were young, we enjoyed a simple safety song which went something like this. Stop, look, and listen. You don't know what you're missing. Be smart and start to stop, look, and listen. Open your eyes, look around, and listen carefully. If you're not wise, you'll find yourself where you don't want to be. Now, maybe some of you remember that from years ago. My message today is about the importance of listening as it relates to our journey of discipleship. It is about how listening is an act of faith and an act of love. To begin with, maybe the teacher in me, I need to ask some questions to begin with. First, what is the difference between listening and hearing? Are they the same? Second, why is a message about listening important to me at this time? Third, how is listening related to learning? And fourth, what impact does listening have upon building meaningful relationships with others? And fifth, what can I do to become a better listener in order to more fully become a disciple of Jesus Christ? So first, is there a difference between hearing and listening? Few commandments in the scriptures are mentioned more often than the commandment to listen to God and his servants. It is literally hundreds of times throughout the scriptures. Elder Russell M. Nelson taught the following. Scriptures recorded in all dispensations teach that we show our love of God as we hearken to his commandments and obey them. These actions are closely connected. In fact, the Hebrew language of the Old Testament in most instances uses the same term for both hearkening to the Lord and obedience to his word. The term that was used was shama, which means to hear intelligently. That's an interesting definition. The term was used hundreds of times in the Hebrew Old Testament as Israel was counseled to hearken to the word of the Lord and obey it. The link between listening and obedience is found not only in Hebrew, but in Latin and Greek. Literally, the word obey means to hear or to listen toward, that is, to comply. So we can see that listening in this scriptural context is not the same as hearing. Hearing in the scriptural context is a passive, acted upon experience, while listening is an active intent to obey process. In other words, listening is a choice, an act of faith, and it's an act of love. Now, in the New Testament story we're all familiar with Mary and Martha, Jesus visits their home. While Martha is busy, Mary chooses to listen to the Savior. When Martha requests Jesus to ask Mary to help her, Martha's efforts are acknowledged, but then she receives a kind but mild rebuke stating, "Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." It may appear to some Mary is not doing anything. She's just sitting there. But she is doing something. Listening to the Lord is an act of faith and an act of love. Now, there's another scripture in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel chapter 33, starting in verse 30. It says, "Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people. And they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." In other words, the people at this time would hear the prophets, but not necessarily with the intent to obey. Now, a modern example would be, we have heard the words of prophets over the past few years concerning the need to prepare for the current financial situation that we're in. Many heard, I'm convinced many remember the words of President Hinckley and others, but fewer truly listened. It goes on to state, "And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do not do them. And when this cometh to pass, and lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them." Now, brothers and sisters, I think for the most part, we're not guilty of this. As I look over this audience, you're faithful, you're valiant, but I think it's an area that we all can be aware of and improve. Sometimes as members of the church, we find ourselves attending meetings out of duty, in some cases maybe for social reasons. However, listening implies a desire and a willingness to receive coupled with the intent to obey. Second, why is this message important to me at this time? Let me just say that listening is a foundational characteristic of a disciple of Jesus Christ. And at BYU Idaho, that is what we are about. Elder M. Russell Ballard counsels, "Today I make you a promise. It is a simple one, but it is true. If you will listen to the living prophet and the apostles and heed our counsel, you will not go astray." Brothers and sisters, I worry righteous actions such as pondering, reflecting, reading, and listening can be viewed as outdated old school notions. For those desiring to become disciples of the Savior, these actions will become more, not less important as we move into a very uncertain future. Joseph Smith taught, "The things of God are of deep import, and time and experience and careful and ponderous and solemn thoughts can only find them out." We all need our own sacred groves or our Walden ponds. The temple on the hill can provide such a place. There is a greater need for discerning disciples who listen to the Spirit, listen to the Lord, his prophets, and each other, and are quick to observe, and who stand ready to build the kingdom of God. 3 Nephi chapter 1, verse 29 states this, "And there was also a cause of much sorrow among the Lamanites, for behold, they had many children who did grow up and began to wax strong in years, and they became for themselves and were led away by some who were Zoramites by their lyings and their flattering words to join those Gadian robbers." Now, I'm not suggesting that anybody here is going to join any Gadian robbers anytime soon, but if we're not careful, we can become for ourselves. And I think we can see evidence of society that is quickly becoming for themselves, a society in which listening to the Lord and listening to others has become less frequent. It can be difficult not to be pulled into the trap of self-indulgence and continual entertainment, but life was not meant to be a passive, self-centered experience, but one in which we are anxiously engaged or should be anxiously engaged in a good cause. Our eternal natures were created to act and not to be acted upon. The scriptures state, "The power is in them, wherein they are agents unto themselves." With this power to act, the ability to exercise faith, we have been commanded to reach out beyond ourselves and build up the kingdom of God. Now, think how listening ties into keeping our baptismal covenants. As disciples, we are asked to mourn with those that mourn, to comfort those that stand in need of comfort, to succor the weak, to lift up the hands which hang down, and strengthen the feeble knees. We have been commanded to live beyond ourselves, to offer our whole soul as an offering unto Him. As we exercise our agency by listening to God and others, we are acting in faith and acting in love. And we demonstrate our desire to be His disciples. Such listening is a protection from evil and a preparation for the opportunities of the future. Third, how is listening related to learning? There has been a growing focus on learning by faith and the role of the learner in the learning process. The BYU Idol learning model is at the forefront, I think, of that effort. In order for learning to happen, there are three areas of emphasis. It's our mind, okay, and our head that is associated with what we know, the mental processes of study. Our heart is associated with emotions and feelings, and our hands associated with action and doing. All three are interrelated and are critical in the process of learning and becoming. Listening is not just a mental activity. It involves our heart as we desire to learn and serve. It is also an act of faith and love. We are familiar with phrases like, open your heart in order to hear and understand. The story of Laman and Lemuel, who were past feeling that they could not feel his words. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, and be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. So we can see the connections. Now, brothers and sisters, can you see how listening impacts all three areas? Listening is a choice. When we attend our class or church meetings, we consciously need to make a choice to listen with the intent to obey. Now, Joseph Smith is a wonderful model of someone who learned by study and also by faith. And you think, well, what role did listening play in his life? He is shown here listening to the voice of the prophets recorded in the Bible. He was one who listened with the intent to obey. He listened to ministers of the day. He listened to family members, his parents. Studied the scriptures. He was one who reflected upon what he was experiencing. The first commandment in this dispensation and other sacred times has been given by our Heavenly Father. After introducing his beloved son to the boy prophet, Joseph is invited to hear him. And as our hymn states, he listened to the Lord. The first verse in the Doctrine and Covenants is a commandment to hearken and listen together. Later, Joseph was taught in a revelation, behold, the Lord requireth the heart and a willing mind, and the willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land of Zion in these last days. Can you see where that desire to listen with the intent to learn and to obey is so critical? Listening is an indication of someone's willingness and desire. We will, by and large, get what we go after, that which we desire most. I love this quote by Elder Bruce C. Hafen. Over the long run, our most deeply held desires will govern our choices, one by one and day by day, until our lives finally add up to what we have really wanted. The BYU Idaho learning model has vast and powerful implications in preparing disciples who are discerning and have a desire to learn. A key element of the learning model deals with teaching one another. Foundational to teaching one another is listening to one another. In section 88, verse 122, a verse we're all familiar with. Appoint among yourselves a teacher, and let not all be spokesmen at once, but let one speak at a time, and let all listen unto his sayings, that when all have spoken, that all may be edified of all, and that every man may have equal privilege. I look at verse 122 in comparison with a previous verse about teach ye diligently that my grace shall attend you. I look at them as companion verses. And you think about the role of edification and the role of grace. I'm not sure grace can happen in a teaching process if we are not listening intently to one another out of love and a desire to learn. Fourth, what impact does listening have upon building meaningful relationships with others? Many of you are in the process of those wonderful dating years. Some are recently married, but you're in a critical time of building meaningful relationships. There have been concerns raised about the erosion of personal relationships with each other, living virtual and sometimes superficial lives, void of rich, meaningful relationships. Listening is critical in developing such relationships. A quote by Elder H. Burke Peterson states this, as you develop your capacity to love unconditionally, remember that listening is a part of showing love. If your home is a home where children are listened to, even when what they say doesn't seem important or you don't feel you have time, then you are preparing hearts. Can we listen openly to a shocking experience without going into a state of shock ourselves or without an immediate verbal overreaction? We all know there is a time to talk and a time to listen. To listen with patience to a young person's reasons for getting home late will bring you undying gratitude. Remember, you can listen to understand, not necessarily to agree. Oftentimes we do our best teaching when we listen. Husband and wife relationships are nourished and strengthened as we listen to each other, and hearts are softened. Now, many of you who have served missions have come to love Preach My Gospel. In the teaching section of Preach My Gospel, there's a small section about listening. And it states this: while others talk to you, avoid the tendency to think about what you are going to say. Make sure you are really concentrating on the person speaking rather than planning your response. Then I love this quote from Elder Jeffrey R. Holland: more important than speaking is listening. These people, referring to investigators that are being taught, are children of God, our brothers and sisters, and they need what we have. Be genuine, reach out sincerely, and then this promise: if we listen with love, we won't need to worry what to say. It will be given to us by the Spirit and by our friends. Now, about 3 weeks ago, Elder Holland spoke at the Missionary Training Center. Many maybe saw this in the church news. He continued this thought. He says, teach the missionaries that second only to the responsibility they have to listen to the Spirit is the responsibility to listen to the investigator. They must have the patience, sincerity, and ability to go where the investigator is, spiritually speaking, before expecting the investigator to come where they are, spiritually speaking. Missionaries have to go prayerfully and lovingly out into the highways and byways of these people's lives, seeking to discern their challenges and concerns. So hopefully you can see the connection and some of the principles that can be taken from a missionary experience into relationships that we have in our lives today. In preparation for this talk, one night I had an interesting dream. I was traveling in a school-type bus down a road filled with college students. I noticed that many were carrying articles of clothing on their laps. Toward the front of the bus were suitcases and luggage, apparently too full to hold any more items. I had a fairly large suitcase that I felt was almost full, but was interested in helping students store their extra items. I opened my suitcase and found I had some room on one half of the suitcase, and students began to come to the front to place their clothes in the suitcase. When the one half was full, I was not sure what to do, because there was still more that needed to be put away. I remember thinking how the other half of the suitcase was full, but decided to open it anyway. To my surprise, there was some extra room. As the case began to fill, it was as if the case grew and was able to hold more items. Now that's, to me, it was kind of an interesting dream. And I thought, how does that relate to listening? There may be times in our lives when we fill our suitcases full. We may find it difficult to listen to others with the intent to understand or to help. But as we listen with love, our capacity to listen and to love will increase. I believe this is in part what is being taught in section 93, as it teaches us how to become like the Savior as we grow from grace to grace through the process of grace for grace. Fifth, what can I do to become a better listener in order to more fully become a disciple of Jesus Christ? I've had the opportunity to attend a lot of devotionals here at BYU-Idaho. There's a couple that stand out. I'd like to share my experience and some thoughts about one of them. And I think one of them happened a few weeks ago with President Henry B. Eyring, and the feeling that was in the heart gym before he spoke. There was listening going on, even though nobody was speaking. We were feeling things, and we had the desire to become better. One of these happened for me back in March 2002, and there might be a few here that remember this. President Boyd K. Packer was asked to speak at devotional. The week before, President Bednar asked the students to prepare their minds and hearts and to dress appropriately. The heart was full at least a half hour prior to the start of devotional. It was quiet and it was reverent. President Packer was early and observed the reverence of the students. There was a wonderful and sweet spirit. as everyone prepared themselves to listen to a prophet's voice and to hear the word of the Lord. When President Packer stood to speak, he was concerned he would interrupt the Spirit. I thought that was so interesting. As the president of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, getting ready to speak, he was concerned that he would interrupt the meeting with his thoughts. He stated this, "After sitting here in this reverent room and seeing in my mind the rest of you in the other rooms, I am hesitant to break the spell." He then quoted Sir Winston Churchill, who gave a graduation address where he said, "Never, never, never, never give up." And then he sat down. President Packer says, "I could say, never, never, never forget the feelings that you had when you were sitting here surrounded and strengthened by all of the others who were here. It is, in this noisy world, a very rare experience to be sitting where you can just feel things." Now, students listened and followed the counsel of President Bednar to prepare. They came prepared to listen with the desire to be taught and with the intent to obey. There are many times in a teaching setting in which the receptiveness of the learners invite the Holy Ghost to teach things that otherwise would not be taught. I think of all the points of this talk, this is one that I think is the most critical. You have an impact upon what is being said and what is being felt. Now, consider this from A. Roger Merrill, who was the past General Sunday School president. He said, "Consider the response of President Spencer W. Kimball when someone once asked him, 'What do you do if you find yourself caught in a boring sacrament meeting?' President Kimball thought a moment, and then he replied, 'I don't know. I've never been in one.'" Now, there's something to learn from that observation, from that comment. Elder Gene R. Cook teaches the following in relationship to this principle. "The more enlightened member of the church goes to church in order to give strength, to fill, to inspire, to help. They sit in the congregation and they pray intently for the speaker. They find that as they do so in a sacrament meeting, that the Lord will speak to them using that speaker, however weak he may be in his knowledge and understanding of the gospel, to open additional spiritual doors for the ones seated praying. The speaker, for example, may mention the concept of faith and give the most elemental description of what it is. The faithful man or woman in the audience is praying to help him, the speaker, and listening intently to what is said. If he does so, the Lord will open up numerous other more profound ideas about faith to the one praying for instruction from the real source of all learning, namely the Lord." In preparation for this talk, I came across just a sweet story that I think is powerful. And it is a past president of Ricks College, President Eyring. He relates the following. "When I was a president, or the president of Ricks College years ago, I remember having a man who was my priesthood leader come to my house each month to interview me about my home teaching. He brought with him a gray notebook in which he wrote notes. He recorded not only my report as a home teacher, but my observations about the gospel and life as well. I remember at first being very flattered. Then one Sunday, he and I were visiting what was then called Junior Sunday School. Today we'd call it primary. He was a few rows in front of me. The speaker was a little girl, no more than 6 or 7, probably not yet old enough to have the gift of the Holy Ghost. I glanced over at the man and noticed with surprise that he had the same gray notebook open. As a little girl spoke, he was writing with as much speed and intensity as he had in the study of my home. I learned a lesson from him that I haven't forgotten. He had faith that God could speak to him as clearly through a child as through the president of a college. I watched that man in later months and years deal with great difficulties and with important assignments. I saw miracles, at least to me they seemed to be miracles, in his wisdom and his ability to lead and to direct. Those miracles came, I believe, in large part because he could hear the voice of God confirmed by the Holy Spirit in words of the weak and the simple." Brothers and sisters, I'd like to conclude with what I consider one of the greatest listening, learning, and becoming experiences on all of Scripture. In 3 Nephi, chapter 11, and we're all familiar with the Savior's visit to the Nephites, and it was the Scripture that was quoted earlier. and they're conversing there by the temple in the land Bountiful. And it came to pass that while they were thus conversing one with another, they heard a voice as if it came out of heaven, and they cast their eyes round about, and they understood not the voice which they had heard. And again the third time they heard the voice, and did open their ears to hear it, and their eyes were towards the sound thereof, and they did look steadfastly toward heaven and from whence the sound came. And it happened the third time, and they did understand the voice which they heard, and it said unto them, Behold my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, in whom I have glorified my name, hear ye him. Now in chapter 12, the Savior teaches the Nephites to listen to the 12 that he has just chosen. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto Nephi and to those who had been called, now the number of them who had been called and received power and authority to baptize was 12. And behold, he stretched forth his hand unto the multitude and cried unto them, saying, Blessed are ye if ye shall give heed unto the words of these 12 whom I have chosen from among you to minister unto you and to be your servants. Can you see the pattern? Our Heavenly Father introduces the Savior and commands the people to hear him, to listen. The Savior then, after calling the 12, commands the people to listen to the 12, to his chosen servants. It's interesting in chapter 15 that in reference to the people in Jerusalem, it says, And now because of the stiff-neckedness and unbelief, they understood not my word. Therefore I was commanded to say no more of the Father concerning this thing unto them. We can see where a lack of desire to listen with the intent to obey stops revelation, okay, that it impacts what could be said. In chapter 17, I think one of the most beautiful chapters in all of Scripture. And the Savior consents that it's been a long day, and he asks them to go home and ponder and prepare their minds for the morrow, and we're familiar with this. And he looks around, and with tears in their eyes, he senses that he wants them to stay. And he said unto them, Behold, my bowels are filled with compassion towards you. And then he heals them. One by one, they come up, and then the beautiful story of the children and the angels. All because they had the desire to listen with the intent to obey. It's interesting to me that at the end of the Savior's visit with the Nephites, in chapter 26, it says, And it came to pass that he did teach and minister unto the children of the multitude, of whom hath been spoken. And he did loose their tongues, and they did speak unto their fathers great and marvelous things, even greater than he had revealed unto the people. And he loosed their tongues that they could utter. Like in President Eyring's story, the people were taught through the voice of little children. The people were so humble and desirous to listen and obey. The Lord was able to teach the people through children and reveal unto them even greater things that he revealed. Brothers and sisters, I think it's a pattern. I think it's a pattern that we can think about in our lives. The Lord is willing to give and pour down knowledge from heaven. As Brigham Young taught, in these matters, we live far beneath our privileges. As you think through what we need to do sometimes in our life, sometimes we need to stop. And sometimes the greatest progress we'll make in our life is by stopping and thinking and pondering and reflecting, looking to the Lord and listening to his prophets and to the Spirit, and listening to others with love. I testify the Lord is anxious to bless us and pour down knowledge from heaven if we are but willing to listen with the intent to obey. I testify listening with faith and love is the catalyst to opening up such blessings. And I leave this with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.